the challenges ahead for China.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. China's Communist Party has a new leader. Xi Jinping's appointment was officially announced today. And as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, he's got a host of economic challenges ahead of him.
On China's new ruler's to-do list, tackle the nation's widening wealth gap, clean up decades worth of environmental neglect, and, oh yeah, straighten out the kinks in the economy.
Well, first, the most immediate challenge is how to handle a slowing economy.
Patrick Shavonik is a professor at Tsinghua University's School of Economics and Management.
There are a lot of people who would like them to respond with stimulus and pump the economy back up. There are others who argue that what's needed is really more fundamental reform, even if that means slower growth in the short run.
If the new leaders choose a path of economic reform, says Shavonik, that'll mean a transfer of capital from a public sector full of giant state-owned enterprises to the private sector, opening up China to more market competition. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
President Obama will meet tomorrow with members of Congress to start negotiations in hopes of avoiding the fiscal cliff. Business leaders are preparing for whatever may come. I spoke with Scott Davis, who is the CEO of UPS.
Clearly, at UPS, we're always planning for the future. And, you know, we move about 6% of the U.S. GDP every day. So if we do head into a second recession, clearly it's something we have to react to. We have flexibility at UPS where we adjust our workforce based on the number of packages that we're shipping each day.
So do you think you'd have to lay people off if we went over the cliff?
I think likely if the CBO is correct and the economy was to get hit by 4%, that would impact our package volume, which would impact jobs.
Davis says taxes should go up as part of a balanced solution to the problem. But what do the American people think? For answers, let's get to Attitude Check, our partnership with the polling firm Gallup.
And the latest poll numbers suggest
margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at Gallup, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do we know how much attention Americans are paying to this whole fiscal cliff discussion?
Yeah, I think it's quite high. 71%, to be precise, are following the news about the fiscal cliff barrier somewhat closely. And we've asked that same question about many news events going back for decades. But the average attention being paid to news events that we've measured is 61%. So this 71% comes in 10 points above average, which tells us that the Americans are, in fact, focusing on the drama now unfolding about the fiscal cliff.
Well, do we know what they would like Washington to do about it?
We do know that Americans want compromise, and that's kind of the larger issue rather than the micro-specifics. But we've asked, and this is unusual, that people would agree on this on both sides of the political aisle. Rank-and-file Republicans and Democrats say that both sides should compromise equally to find a solution. Now, in terms of the specifics, we have followed up on a question we've asked about spending cuts versus tax increases, and Americans still come significantly on the cut spending side of the spectrum. Nobody likes the idea of tax increases in general, although we have a group of Americans who say it should be a combination of both tax increases and spending cuts. But Americans like the sound of spending cuts better than tax increases.
Now, if people want compromise, Frank, are voters giving President Obama a mandate? This is the big question now. Did he get a mandate from this electoral win?
We don't see it in this compromise question, and that's a very good question that you've just asked, because we asked the public, should the Republicans give in more than the Democrats, or should the Democrats, and that includes Obama, give in more than the Republicans? And one might expect, if there is a mandate, the public would say, oh yeah, Republicans now need to compromise more because of the election. We don't find that. It's about equal. Most Americans, two-thirds of Americans, say both sides should compromise equally, and just about as many Americans say that Obama and the Democrats should compromise as say that the Republicans should.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at Gallup, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down 1.5% in Tokyo, but just 0.4% lower right now in London. Today, the Justice Department is expected to announce that BP will pay a record criminal penalty for the 2010 Gulf oil spill in exchange for a waiver from future prosecution of the charges. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 185 points to close at 12,570.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
The Federal Housing Administration's annual report is due out this week, and there's concern that the agency, which insures more than $1 trillion in mortgages, is in big financial trouble thanks to rising mortgage delinquencies. Marketplace's Shireen Marisol Meraji reports.
The FHA provides mortgage insurance, so if homeowners can't pay, it steps in. Robert Van Order is a real estate professor at George Washington University. He says the agency didn't do a lot of business during the worst years of the housing crisis, and that's a good thing.
But they picked up more business in 2008 and 9, which weren't especially good years.
Van Order says the government agency had a role in stabilizing the housing market because it insured home buyers when private insurers wouldn't.
Their losses have come from stepping in and taking up some slack during the recession.
The FHA backs loans for lower-income buyers with as little as 3.5% down. Delinquencies and foreclosures on FHA-backed mortgages are up. Van Order says it's time for the FHA to rethink who it insures and reduce its market share. The Federal Housing Administration's annual report comes out later this week, and if it shows reserves are depleted, there's concern it might impact taxpayers. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
And finally to Australia, where a scene right out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off came true, sort of. A teenager was trying to run from police after stealing a scooter, but after jumping over a fence, he landed on a trampoline. And after bouncing back into the air, he was caught, literally caught, by police.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
The great Ferris Bueller in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.